Okay, if you have your Bibles, please turn with me to 1 Timothy chapter 3. 1 Timothy chapter 3. And everybody should have, I don't know if everyone did grab, but everyone should have one of these little pamphlets. I did print up bulletins this week. And so in this pamphlet is a guide to our deacon selection process, how our church views deacons, what our deacons do in a kind of a roundabout way, the history of deacons in the church, and it goes over our process and procedures for selecting deacons. I was told by many that this was far too detailed and that it would be good to have a bullet point version. So in this week's bulletin is a bullet point version of the material you'll find in here. And then we're going to talk about this also today. So we're trying to get this information to you, in as many possible media as we can. So 1 Timothy chapter 3, I will read. Oh, I have it bookmarked. So good for me. Okay, beginning in verse 8, we read, "Deacons, likewise," that is similarly to the overseers, the elders, "deacons, likewise, are to be men worthy of respect, sincere, not indulging in much wine, and not pursuing dishonest gain. They must keep hold of the deep truths of the faith with a clear conscience. They must first be tested, and then if there is nothing against them, let them serve as deacons. In the same way, their wives are to be women worthy of respect, not malicious talkers, but temperate and trustworthy in everything. A deacon must be the husband of but one wife and must manage his children and household well. Those who have served well gain an excellent standing and great assurance in the faith in Jesus Christ." Okay, this is the most concrete text we have on deacons in the Bible. The first talk about deacons really is if you go back to Acts chapter 6. In Acts chapter 6, we read about how there were two groups of Jews. Little history lesson. There were two groups of Jews in Jesus' day. There were what were called the Hebraic Jews, and there were the Grecian Jews. The Hebraic Jews were Jews that came out of Babylon late, and they held on to Babylonian, the older Jewish modes of thought. They didn't learn Greek. They didn't take on Greek names. They were the Jewish-ear Jews in a lot of people's views. Hey, that rhymes. I'm a poet and didn't know it. And then there were the Hellenic Jews or the Grecian Jews. And the Grecian Jews were Jews who took on Greek names. They spoke the Greek language primarily as their conversational language. They had Greek modes of thought. The Grecian Jews were being overlooked. Their widows, the church had begun a process where the widows were fed out of the community pot. And they had bread distributed to them every single day or at least every couple days. And the Grecian widows were being overlooked. And there were people that complained about this. And so the apostles, Peter and the other 10 at that time, they get together and they're trying to decide how to address this issue. And they say, it's not right for us to neglect the teaching of the Word of God and prayer to wait on tables. The verb for to be a deacon is the same verb to wait on tables. Diakonao, which is where we get the word deacon. It sounds the similar because we just transliterate it in English. And they say, so we're going to appoint men who are full of the Spirit, who are trustworthy, who are wise, and we're going to let them take care of this so we can continue to do the things that God has appointed for us to do. And that's the birth of the deacons. So that happens like AD 33 or 34. By the time we get into the book of 1 Timothy, about 30 years have passed. And in that 30 years, those seven men, led by Stephen, have become an official group that exists in every church. And Paul, writing to Timothy, is saying, when you establish a church, Timothy was in Ephesus right now. When you establish a church, what I want you to do is I want you to appoint men who are going to be able to be servants, who are going to be able to be deacons. You have elders who were essentially the co-pastors of the church, and then you had deacons who were there to serve the co-pastors of the church. And we know a couple things about them, but we don't know a lot. We know that that deacons in the apostolic age were involved in evangelism. We know that, I believe very firmly, that in verse 11, their wives is a bad translation. It literally says the women. The word for woman and wife, like in a lot of languages in Greek, is the same word. Hebrew, German, French, it's the same word. And I think a better translation is in the same way the women. So we know there were women deacons in the apostolic age. Read Romans 16:1. We find out that Phoebe was a deaconess. We know that in the earliest church there were women deacons because women deacons were commanded to take care of the instruction of women converts. So a woman would become a believer in Jesus Christ. It would be the job of the women deacons to instruct them in the faith and to prepare them for baptism. And then it was the women deacons who would baptize the women. Men baptized men, women baptized women. The reason they did this is because they baptized people naked. And we ain't gonna do that. I mean, it might drive up attendance. Might drive it way down too. You know, that's a two-edged sword. I mean, I guess it's a good thing we got like a deep baptismal here. But that's how they did it. And so in the early church, the deacons were men and women, and their role was essentially to serve Christ by serving the elders and serving the broader church. So we come to a difficult question, and our deacons, we have two deacons here this morning who can correct me if I'm wrong, but in our church here, people ask, well, what do the deacons really do here? Kind of everything. The deacons in our church are responsible for an enormous array of things. Basically, if you want to know what the deacons are and in the early church and what I think our vision is for deacons here is deacons are essentially assistant pastors. Their role is to help people in their spiritual growth, spiritual development, helping make people disciples of Jesus Christ, as well as taking care of a lot of other duties that exist in the church. Our deacons do a lot. They help the church. They want to help people become disciples. And so viewing the deacons in our church as co-pastors is a really good way of viewing what their role is. That basically, if there's something that really needs to be done in an official way by the church, that's the role of the deacons. So it's a very important task. It's a very important role. How do we select our deacons? We do not vote on deacons. And I don't say this to harp on Debbie. We don't vote on our deacons. Our process is every member of the church, we have four new ones, by the way, every member of the church is not just invited, not recommended, we insist, I don't get to insist on many things, but I insist that as we prepare for this, we spend time in prayer. I would highly recommend prayer and fasting as we prepare, because what we're going to do is, our process works like this. As members, we will join together, and we will nominate people. And what we look for is consensus amongst those nominated. So if there are 80 votes for Billy Bob, out of 80 out of 80 people say, you know, we want to vote for Billy Bob, then we're going to view that as the Holy Spirit speaking to people that Billy Bob is an astounding candidate. Now, it will be a little weird because we don't have 80 members, so somebody's been stuffing the box, you know, but that's what we're looking for. What we're looking for is the members of the church as a whole to be saying, we believe through prayer, through fasting, through careful consideration and conversation with others, we believe this person, that person, and another person will be fit to serve the church in a very, very important capacity. Deacons are very important, and having a good diaconate is of crucial importance for the health and welfare of any church. So on the 15th, what we will do is we will have a special meeting. It will be after church. It'll be members only. So if you've got your members only jacket still, some of you are old enough to have a members only jacket. So, Brian's smiling. Apparently he hasn't given his to Goodwill yet. But all right, wear your members only jacket. Come in, and what we're going to do is everyone is going to write down names of people. It can be as many, it can be as few as you believe the Lord is telling you are fit to serve as deacons. Those names will be collected. They will be reviewed. We will search for consensus, looking for the will of the Holy Spirit, the will of God in this. Those names that the deacons have identified as the Lord is leading those names forward, those individuals, whoever are named, will be addressed. They will be invited to join the team. Those who say yes will have a ceremony, and they will be installed publicly so that people know who our deacons are, and they will know, and because it's a very important thing. There should be ceremony involved with things like that. That's a quick rundown. Like I said, this goes into some detail. This is the bullet point form. Is there anything I'm leaving out? Are there things that we need to know? Okay, I got the thumbs up. Awesome. If you have more questions, please talk to the Lockharts, talk to Kathy Nichols, call up the Hugs, harass them, try to bring them back, threaten to leave burning dog poop on their front porch. I don't know what you have to do, but call them, let them know, and because they really do, we want this to be successful, we want this to go well. So if you have questions, don't hesitate to ask. We want this to be, we want an effective and meaningful deacon board, and that comes with having people, because right now our deacons are exceedingly short-staffed.